If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for April 10th, 2024, a Wednesday. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. Leftover Poppy, a.k.a. New York Game Awards nominated at Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
I feel like the at's incorrect because it's just Blessing Jr. on Twitter. But I see where you're going there. Yeah. I like the vision.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
But I feel like we gotta
Yeah, you're right. I think I've gotten lazy because of Tim at Tim Gettys, and then you are at Blessing
Jr.
But
I don't think lazy is the right word because you did put in like a lot of good titles up in there.
Yeah,
like I like the flow of it. I think it was just that like one specific thing where I'm like, it's technically incorrect.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'll do better. All right, I'll do better for you. All right,
Eden Bark, how's it going with you?
It's going well with me. It's going well. Is that, I forget, is that over or is it still going?
I think it was today.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, everything's going well. I can't complain. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Played soccer last night.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Wasn't the best game.
Do we blame Mike?
No, we don't blame Mike.
Do we blame Mike?
No,
because he
did his best. Okay. People make mistakes is the thing that happens. And so, like, it was that one where early on in the game, they got a goal. Like a few minutes into the game, they got a goal. And Mike's our goalkeeper.
How many minutes?
Probably like 2 minutes into the game, they got a goal. And like, it was one of those ones where like they go for the shot. I could have sworn I see Mike like catch it.
Yeah.
And so like I'm going back. I'm like running the other way, trying to get back in position. And then I see the other team celebrating a goal, and I'm like, "What happened?" I turn around, and the ball's in the goal, and somehow the ball had just rolled through Mike's hands. And it from there, it was just like this effect of like snowball effect of, all right, energy's down.
Yeah.
Like we're already coming off of a loss last week. Now it's like we had to get ourselves.
Is
in that
this
motivated
one of the
space.
Ones like there was a long time, you know, when you're doing these things? I forget. What was the first one you did? Was it volleyball or was it this?
The first one we did was softball,
and that one was just a bloodbath every week.
No, softball was fine. I mean, we didn't get many wins in softball.
Yeah, but
I think it wasn't terrible.
I remember volleyball being a big one, right, where you won and you're like, I don't know if I can go back to losing.
Yeah. Well, that's because we did softball first, and then right after that we did soccer, and that was our first soccer league. And soccer was a bloodbath, where our first game we lost like 13-0, which is unheard of. And then after that we did volleyball. And volleyball we actually did pretty good.
Yeah.
But then we've come back to soccer. Our first soccer match was a tie, and it's a game that I think we should have won. Like, we're up 2-1 for most of the game, and then at the very last moment the other team scored a goal to tie it 2-2. And like coming off of that, honestly, we were feeling great because it's like, oh shit, we're playing way better than last season. Like our movement is great, like people, like we have a pretty strong team of people here. And then week two was a bye week, and so, or for our team, and so we didn't have a match and all the other teams had matches, right? And so we come back on week three and we're rusty, like we're not in the same flow as all these other teams.
Yeah, you got that ring rust on you.
Yeah. And so we come back and like we lose pretty bad, like not terrible, but it was like what, like 4-0, something like that, which is not good in soccer.
That's not the numbers you want to put up.
Those are not the numbers you want to put up. And then this week it's like, okay, well at the very least we're warmed up off of last week, but this week we came through and we're playing in like a mixed league, right? So it is, you have to have at least two women on the field, right? Like there has to be a balance of who's on there. And like I knew last week that one of our girls, Katie.
So a co-ed league.
Co-ed league, yeah. What I said.
Mixed league.
Integration. But yeah, no, it's a co-ed league. But yeah, Katie, we knew wasn't coming through. And so we opened up a drop-in spot. And then also I hit up a friend and like we're coming into this week being like, all right, we've had a shortage of women, but it looks like this week we're going to be
good. We're like one step away from Ladybugs 2 or something, where one of you dresses up as a woman just to make the quota.
Well, I almost did that yesterday because like all the women dropped out at the last moment. And so one of the partners of one of the dudes on the team yesterday stepped in, and this poor girl, like, probably never played soccer, at least in a league in her life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's doing
this
her best.
This isn't like a recreational, hey, everybody's friends league. You've
it's
talked about this before.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, we actually leveled down from last season because last league was, I think it was like beginners, But with soccer, it's like, even if you're signing up for beginner, like, you're hardcore about it.
Yeah.
And so this season, I talked to one of the dudes who helps runs it, and I'm like, hey, is there a more casual league? And he's like, oh yeah, the Tuesday ones, they're called Super Social. And I'm like, okay, cool. Super Social sounds perfect. Like, that's what we want. We want it to be laid back. We don't want any tryhards. And when I tell you that, I swear to God, this league is more difficult than the last league. Like, I'm playing against you. Like, the team we played against
Lexi
last
Lawless
week.
Lawless coming out.
They're
there.
All fucking, like, tall men. And I'm like, what? And so, like, we have a corner kick. And, like, the corner kick, right? Like, you're supposed to go for the header. Like your height is a very big thing. And I'm looking around, like, these men are all over 6 feet. And
yeah.
I'm a humble 5'11".
Yeah,
I'm looking around like, I ain't got shit here. And so, I might be 5'8". But yeah.
But you're a humble 5'8".
I'm humble 5'8".
Yeah.
So it's been rough, but it's been a fun time still. Getting the exercise in.
Sure.
Feeling good.
Exercise, not that much fun, you know.
Exercise is great, though.
It makes you feel good, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But it sucks.
I mean, unless you do a sport, then it doesn't feel like exercise.
Nah,
until yesterday I got hit in the gut with the ball. And you ever watch a movie where, like, somebody gets punched in the gut, and, like, the way they're talking, like, oh, like, they can't make out words? I had that happen to me, where I get hit in the ball, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, that hurt. And I try to vocalize, like, oh, this hurts.
Haven't been.
And it comes out exactly like it does in the movies, and I'm like, oh, okay, no, legitimately it happens.
It's based
like that.
In reality.
Yeah, it's based in reality. I'm like, oh, my stomach, like, I can't talk. It was great.
I still think it's such a ringing endorsement of what we do. I said this on Gamescast. Hopefully, maybe you've seen it so far. It's just popped this morning or whatever. That the cough is almost extremely limited now to when I fucking laugh.
And oh,
like,
yeah.
The start of all these shows are just me coughing for 15 minutes because I'm having such a good time.
I love seeing you deep throw a lozenge right before and, like, start crunching it as the intro's going.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, take my own bet of, is he going to choke as the intro's going?
No, out? Never going to choke on the intros. Don't worry about it. I'm always here for you. I'm never going to choke. Don't worry about it. I'll be here forever. I'll be here long after you're gone. I'll survive you, person listening right now, Ted.
Ted?
Yeah. One person named Ted's listening. Oh, shit. Fuck, that was directed at me.
Have you seen any clips from the Ted TV show?
Maybe, like, at launch.
I saw launch like it's a video game. I saw a clip last night that made me almost like pick up and watch Ted, like watch all the.
What was the clip?
It was like the mom and dad out at a dinner, and the mom's like oh hey, you should try this food, and the dude's like, why you do this every time? Like, I don't want to try your food. Like she's like insisting, like, try this, and he's like, no, because you do it every time. Like, I don't want to try your food. And she's like, I want you to try it because that way, like, later on the way home, I can be like look how good that thing was, and you can be like, oh yeah, it was good. And he's like, fuck it, I'll try it. And then, like, he tries some, and he's like, ah, oh, fuck, it's so good. And then, yeah, that's the clip. It was really, it's not as funny as me describing it, but he's telling you this shit at me dying last night. That Ted TV show, I think they got something with it.
What is it even on?
Peacock, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Peacock or Paramount, one of those.
Well, if it's Peacock, it's the number one. I'm number two show. I'm number one show. Don't worry about that.
There you go.
But let's talk about another show right now, ladies and gentlemen. Your Fallout Amazon reviews are glowing. Dead Space 2 remake almost happened, but it's been shelved. And we'll talk about so much more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms live. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about on Twitch, YouTube, and podcast services. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership. We couldn't do this without you. We're an 11-person independent operation here in San Francisco. And if you love that, we need your help. You can head to Patreon or YouTube to get the Kinda Funny membership. Of course, just a couple of bucks. 10 of them gets you each and every show ad-free. And I mean every show Kinda Funny does ad-free. Of course, you can watch us record the podcast live as you record them in the afternoon. And you'd get your daily multimedia extravaganza known as Greg Way. Yesterday, I yelled at Andy on the road. Today, I talk about Bluey and why it makes parents cry. If you got no bucks to sauce our way, no big deal. YouTube, podcast services, Twitch, wherever you're watching for free with ads. Thank you. Please like, subscribe, and share, of course. If you want to be part of the show live as we record it, use those YouTube super chats. If you YouTube super chat on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, you can be part of the show with your thoughts, concerns, and commentary on the questions and the stories. Yeah.
At some point, I don't know when, but soon I would like to borrow a Greg Way to talk about the Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar beef.
Sure, sure.
It's a big deal in my life right now.
Tomorrow, it's all you.
Sick. I kind of want to wait and see because I think Drake or Kendrick might drop another diss. I could just do multiple Greg Ways.
How many they drop? I mean, what's
so far we've gotten two. And it's been insane. We've gotten like 1.5 really, because he had the Kendrick one that dropped on the Future and Metro Boomin album, where he like had a whole verse where he's calling out Drake, calling out J. Cole, and then J. Cole put his out on Friday, but then 2 days later, J. Cole went on stage at his festival and apologized. He went on stage and was
that's
like,
never a good sign.
No, it was a very bad thing. And like, honestly, as a human being, very good thing.
You know,
he noticed that, he realized that he had said things that he regretted. He didn't feel good about the diss. Like that, he said that it didn't feel right with his spirit, and it kept him up at night. Which
damn,
I think is
okay,
very funny.
Fair.
Also, you're not supposed to do that. You know, like it's like the way I would describe it is like, imagine if, you know, you're on the way to WrestleMania. It's the road to WrestleMania, and Cody Rhodes is like, oh, actually, never mind. I don't want to fight Roman Reigns. It's like, no, this is WrestleMania.
Too late, man. We've gone.
Waiting for this. Like, this is a decade in the making. Like, what the fuck are you doing? And so, you know, a lot of people aren't feeling this J. Cole apology.
Damn.
Even though I think as a human being, beautiful thing. Right?
Sure, but not as an entertainer.
Not as a rapper. You know, rap is a sport. Play. Pick up the ball. Dribble.
Very true. Housekeeping for you. Our review of Amazon Prime's Fallout TV show is up as a Gamescast right now. Of course, you can get that on your podcast feed. It is spoiler-free. It is me, Blessing, Mike, and Andy talking about Fallout, the TV show. We had early access, and let us tell you, we enjoyed it quite a bit. Like I said, spoiler-free, Gamescast, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services. Even if you don't care about the show, we talk about the games at the end and what we want from them, where they should go, and if we can all get back into 76 for 1 week.
You try?
I mean, if we do it streaming, I'm in. Yeah, sure.
I'm
but
in
again,
too.
we have to get the jumpsuits.
I mean, I've already got one. I'm already in.
Fair enough.
Let's do it.
This Friday, April 12th at noon, come experience Pokemon like you've never experienced it before through the eyes of a 44-year-old man. That's right. The one and only Nick Scarpino will be playing his very first Pokemon game, but with a twist. It's a Nuzlocke. Can he catch them all? Can he catch even one of them? Remember that time he caught Shingles?
This is funnier with the cough, because I can hear the laugh, and then it's like, it's the cough interspersed every half second that makes it even funnier.
Join in this Friday, April 12th at noon on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames for what is sure to be an electrifying experience.
Pika!
They're showing right now, of course, the video they did where Kevin and Pikachu Mike explain... Fucking Nuzlocke. It's insane. If you haven't watched this, please go watch this.
Each area of the game.
Joey Rathstone in the chat says, Greg, go to the doctor. I feel like that's the biggest waste of time and money possible.
In America.
Oh, you got a cough. Take Dayquil.
In the UK where they got free healthcare, they go to the doctor, they got like a little splinter, you know, in their finger.
Not here in America, where we're made of stronger stuff.
Here in America, we make jokes about people who have way better health care.
Exactly, right?
Like, you can afford a doctor? That's crazy.
You don't have freedoms or guns, though, do you?
Take me, please. Take me to your country.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Factor, Dragon's Dogma 2, and Robinhood. We'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Psh. Comrade says, "Yeah, people have gone to people who say go to the doctor have obviously never been to the doctor because they do nothing."
That's
and again, here's the other thing too: if it wasn't getting better, if I was getting sicker, or if it was just maintaining, if I didn't have progress, I feel we're almost to the goal.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, look, right now I'm talking. Go back and watch the Monday episode where, last Monday where it attacked me and I couldn't talk, period.
Mm.
I had to beg Kevin to get me cough drops in the middle of a show. Mm. Fucking feeling it now.
Listen.
Could sick Greg do this?
I've heard so.
If I was sick, could I do this?
Oh, wow. That could have. Ooh, you're doing it. Audio listeners, he kicked his leg over the chair twice. Imagine if you kicked the chair down open. Hilarious. All I'm saying is that I've heard you cough more in this one episode of KMGD than I've heard you in the last week combined.
No, I coughed more on Gamescast yesterday. For sure.
No way.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't notice it.
It's because I'm so good at it, you know what I mean?
There you go. You're good at what? Coughing or keeping in the cough? Or getting better? What are you good at?
Doesn't matter. I'm good at it.
Do you want me to read this story as you're doing all this?
Well, no. We're having so much fun.
We're having a great time.
When I got the giggles. You remember the gigs? We're back to the gigs.
I don't remember the gigs.
I think I can remember that was Gamescast or Games Daily. Yesterday, I brought up gigs.
Was I on yesterday?
No. That's why I couldn't remember if you knew it or not.
No.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Number one, the Fallout TV show review roundup is here. It has a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes. 93%. We'll start at IGN, where Matt Perslow says a 9 out of 10. A bright and funny apocalypse filled with dark punchlines and bursts of ultra-violence, Fallout stands up there with The Last of Us, among the best game adaptations ever made. Brilliantly constructed, its three distinct leads travel through cleverly linked storylines that build to a fantastic finale. Along the way, there's a megaton of treats for long-term fans thanks to immaculate production design and attention to detail, but never at the expense of making this an ideal starting point for the uninitiated. It's another special effort from Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy and easily earns a big thumbs up. Goddamn. You know?
Let's go.
And remember, this is IGN.com, who gave Ghostbusters Frozen Empire a 4 out of 10. So if they're giving this a 9 out of 10, you can add 6 points to that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Crazy. 15.
Ed Power at The Telegraph gave it 4 out of 5 stars and says, with Amazon underwriting the $150 million budget, production values are predictably lavish. The post-apocalyptic monsters agreeably grotesque. The tone won't be for everyone. As Prime Video has demonstrated with The Boys, violence played for laughs is always an acquired taste. But if you've had enough of the dark and stormy Oppenheimer and would rather look to the bright side of nuclear annihilation, Fallout delivers the perfect payload of over-the-top action and childish humor. It's hard to think of another video game adaptation that better conveys the sheer giddy hedonism of a top-notch shoot-em-up. And then Graham Virtue at Eurogamer also gave it 4 out of 5 stars and says, there has been a glut of viscerally violent streaming comedy in recent years, from The Boys to Preacher and Peacemaker. But ultimately, what Fallout puts me in mind of was Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves, a rollicking movie romp with likable characters that managed to evoke an improvisational, seat-of-the-pantaloons spirit of actually playing D&D. Fallout does something similar, its gory scenes evoking the sort of accidental escalations that routinely happen in the game. What a lovely, if blood-splattered, surprise. Blessing.
Greg.
Our games cast is up.
Mm-hmm.
You gave it a 4 out of 5 there.
Yes, I did.
Are you ready to say it's a 5 out of 5? Have you changed your mind?
No, I stick with the 4 out of 5. Okay. Yeah. It was the thing where it's a 4 out of 5 that I probably love, like a 5 out of 5, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think it's one of those that goes back
to... You had another great quote yesterday, right? If it's a 4 out of 5 show, but you feel it's a 10 out of 10 adaptation,
right? And, like, that's where I look at the IGN review that talked about it being... Yeah, Fallout stands up there with The Last of Us is among the best game adaptations ever made. And I agree with that, right? Like, I can't believe how good the Fallout TV show is, and it's even one that even since reviewing or recording our review yesterday and posting it up this morning, like thinking about it more, I'm like, I still have so much to say about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I put up a tweet talking about essentially where we're at with post-apocalyptic media and zombie media, and how for the last decade and a half, I forget when the Walking Dead TV show started, but I feel like it was 2010 or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right-ish.
That's been a long time, and I think that ushered us into an era of, all right, we're getting zombie fiction everywhere, and there has been a fatigue that I've felt for what feels like a decade, right?
Yeah, but,
like zombie.
Even in the throes of Walking Dead, in the most popular part, people were like, all over zombies.
And like, you know, you go through the list of post-apocalyptic TV shows, and it's Walking Dead, it's Fear the Walking Dead, it's Walking Dead, Rick and Michonne are back and they're married this time, right? Like, it is The Last of Us. It is Twisted Metal. It is, like, you talk about video games, how we've gotten, like, Days Gone, Last of Us, DayZ, all these things. And
Dead Island 2.
Dead Island 2. And it feels
Dying
like...
Dying Light 2.
And Dying Light 2. It feels like we've gotten so much zombie and post-apocalyptic. And I don't want to, like, stick on the zombie thing, because Fallout very much isn't zombie. There are ghouls, but, like...
Yeah. But, like apocalypse.
Apocalypse, right? Like, that is the theme. And I think there's... a thread there that connects all these things. It is so difficult for me, even though, like, I'm somebody that loves post-apocalypse. Like, if you were, like, to put a bunch of, I guess, like, settings in a jar, right, between space, fantasy, post-apocalypse, all these, I'm going post-apocalyptic every single time.
Yeah.
I just think that type of story is always fascinating. I think it's fun. I think it's really cool to see, like, what humanity does when it is, oh, we are way post-humanity now. I think that stuff is very fascinating. But even for me, I'm like, now I need something to really pull me in. And Fallout, even though I played Fallout 3 it came out in 2008, right? But I played in probably like 2011. Even though I played that so long ago, Fallout coming into the TV form, I think, feels so fresh and feels so new and feels so cool, especially now thinking about in the context of the people that are going to experience this for the first time,
yeah,
because it's
yeah,
a TV
yeah,
show
yeah,
on
yeah.
Amazon as opposed to a video game. It is so fresh. It is so wacky. It is so weird. And like, I think about how many episodes or how many seasons of a zombie show it takes to get to like cannibalism or like the weird shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where like, man's
inhumanity to man. That's what the biggest
threat
always
like,
was.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they've created their own government and like, you know, oh man, the governor in Walking Dead, that's cool. And then you go on to the next thing, right? Like it usually takes a while to get there because then like that's when we're getting to what constitutes as the weird shit in post-apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah.
In Fallout, it's from the go where it is, oh, what the fuck is happening? Oh, like there are weird experiments. Oh, there's ghouls. Oh, there's like a big axolotl creature that's swallowing people alive. Like Fallout starts from the weirdness and escalates from there in a way that I think just makes it stand out and makes it feel fresh, even compared to something like Last of Us last year.
I think I'm three episodes in. I adore it. As I said in our review or whatever, it's something that even Jen is super into. One of the reasons why I stopped at three, because I want to wait to get the real experience that rather than the screeners, which weren't the best quality and didn't have captions and stuff. I can wait till tonight to get into it, right? And for me, three episodes in, it's an interesting question, right? Of like, not even a question. Oh, I guess the question was posed in our headline, right? Mm-hmm. Is Fallout the best video game adaptation ever, right? And obviously Last of Us did so much so right, so well, right? Fallout, if you wanted to get in this argument, Fallout the TV show might be in the running for best video game adaptation because it feels like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
The way the characters interact and set off on their quests feel like you're getting side quests. It feels almost one-to-one with the Fallout games and how you find stuff there. Again, as I point out in the review, right, like the fact that this show is happening in the game universe could be a huge problem, right, since games and shows don't look the same. But the fact is, we called it out one of these, right, like it is so meticulously detailed that the sugar bomb box and the Nuka-Cola and the sound effects for a stim pack all sound just like they do in the game. Like it's undoubtedly impressive the way they've gone and said, hey, we are making a show that is the game, and so they will be one-to-one in a way, in the gore and the way heads pop.
It plays it's like, by the rules of the game, and like it uses everything about the game that could work for television, it uses for that, right? Like there are, I talked about yesterday on the review that like there are certain things about the Fallout universe that I wish we got more in the games. Like I'm fascinated with Vault Tech and like what is going on with the vaults and all this stuff, right? And like the different little experiments that they play in all the vaults. Like we get a lot of hints of that in the game and we get a lot of exploration of that in the game, but I always want more. That's my favorite thing about that. And the TV show feels like it is using the fact that it has this ability as a TV show to do these different things to give us a bit more of that in a way that I think really works in its favor. And yeah, watching this, it doesn't feel like it doesn't take place. It doesn't look or seem or feel like it doesn't take place in the game. Right?
Yeah,
like,
it's like, building on that this world, right? Yeah, and to your point of like what Vault-Tec's doing and what's going on behind it. And then even like, again, no spoilers, but things you know, iconography you know so well, to then get the backstory of that through this show, the things we know, the character. I'm like, oh, that's a neat way to do that. I really like that.
It's definitely one of my favorite video game adaptations. I feel like the conversation of best video game adaptation is like,
it's subjective as hell.
It's subjective as hell, and I'm like, I don't know, man. The Pokemon anime like feels like the right answer, just in terms of how big that was and what that did for spreading that franchise even further. I guess The Last of Us is in there. Like, I'm trying to think of what the best video game adaptations. I guess Arcane. People love Arcane. Cyberpunk Edgerunners. But yeah, for me, I keep going back to Pokemon.
In almost golden age, right? Where there's so much good shit.
Yeah.
But I think to do something live action and have it be awesome, right? Like, goddamn impressive.
Yeah.
Can't recommend the show enough, of course. Drops tonight at 6 o'clock, 6:30. No, 6 o'clock tonight.
6 o'clock.
Pacific time, so get in there. However, one of the things we talked about on the review I want to bring up here because it came up in the chat. Gaming Beyond Legendary Knight says in the Twitch chat, IMO, I think it was a dumb move for Bethesda not to have ported Fallout 3 and or New Vegas to PS4/PS5 to tie in with the show. This is something we go into depth on Gamescast of like, you watch the show, you finish the show, you want to go play Fallout. And so what a huge miss not to have something ready to go. Mm-hmm.
Do you think we get something soon? Like, is this a
I don't
E3
I think
announcement
you would
like
have had this already. I mean, that's such a lackluster fucking, you know, limp announcement to have it then,
at
right?
E3 would be tough, right?
Yeah.
But even what like I think if it's an out today, like, hey, and Fallout, I know the thing we've talked about, I think the thing that they're actually working on is Fallout 4, like PS5 or
that you,
like
we,
current
we
gen
brought this up, right? Yeah, the
edition.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's not exciting. I'm like, cool, I can play it on current gen. Unless there's like a lot of bells and whistles that they've added in, maybe that's exciting.
Yeah.
But maybe that's an E3. Hey, and it's out today. You can play Fallout 4 on Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 right now. I think the more exciting thing would be if they were able to bundle Fallout 3 in New Vegas and have it as a remaster. Yeah. We don't have any hints of that in rumors or anything like that, but that would be, in my opinion, the slam dunk, because I think those are the ones that people want to play. Like, Fallout 4 is dope. Like, I love Fallout 4, but I also think that a lot of people have played Fallout 4, whereas I guess a lot of people played Fallout 3, but like Fallout 3 in New Vegas, those are classics.
Fallout 3 in New Vegas, somebody said, I think it was JB in the chat also popped off, why does everything need to be ported to PlayStation? You're getting too hung up on that. Why isn't there something new Fallout to play right now?
Yeah.
Right in the zeitgeist we're about to have of
Fallout.
Like,
it's hard to point somebody to something Fallout.
Oh, yeah. Oh, buy an Xbox and you can play backwards compatible. You know, they do the thing. It's like,
it's like, oh, yeah, you can play Fallout 4, which is almost 10 years old now, which blows my mind. But yeah, like a 9-year-old game, or you can play Fallout 76, the one that people don't recommend.
Yeah. It's like you have to do some other like fucking shit to get into it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's
it's like,
the
it's
thing.
Not going to have this Fallout story that you want, right?
For
like,
me,
that's
like,
not what makes Fallout.
The
Fallout.
Thing we went through right with Fallout 4 on the review stands of like, oh man, like was there a DLC? I'm like, yeah, there was. I'm like, oh, I looked at my trophies. I touched one of them, right? So there's a lot of Fallout 4 I could go play. But for me, the problem is I look at that and I go, well, I'm going to jump in with my character. Mm-hmm. Remember nothing and be super powered and like, okay, so it's like I don't even connect when I leave an RPG for that long and come back. It's like, well, I should re-roll, but I don't want to replay Fallout 4, whereas like Fallout 3 and New Vegas are so old that if they were like, here's remastered versions of those games, I'd be like, let's go from I want to start a new character and I want to go and roll with it.
And there's something about three in New Vegas, I guess, for me, three, I'm sure for a lot of people, New Vegas, where I look at it almost in the way that I look at like a Mario 64, just a classic video game, right? Maybe a Mass Effect 2 in that manner. Where Fallout 4 for me is like, it's another entry into the Fallout franchise. Whereas Fallout 3, I think, did something so iconic and so like, oh shit, like this is a fucking 100%. Video game. Like this is switching 100%. Things forward. And then New Vegas, you know, brought it with that Obsidian level game design, right? And the choices and like the setting and all that stuff. That's why for me, I'm like, I more so want to go back to those ones than like return to a 4, which I feel like I gotten all out of 4 that I want to get out of 4. I'm with you in terms of DLC, where I didn't play the DLC also, and I'm like, I played so much of that where I'm sure, one, I might be OP, and then also I just don't remember shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I remember the synths, and then my guy Nick Valentine.
Yeah, oh, Nick Valentine, what up? Yeah.
Oh man, I love it.
Never
Nick
forget.
Valentine.
Yeah,
he's what makes that game great. I fucking love him.
He was fun. I liked him a lot. Yeah.
But then like
this turns into a detective game.
And then like that's the other thing that gets me excited about just Fallout as a universe and what I want out of future seasons or just the future of what the show can be is there are so many untouched things. I'm not going to talk about them, right? You know, I think even just mentioning synths, I'm like, oh shit, that's the thing they could do. There's so many things they could do in this TV show that could be really cool.
Can't fucking wait. I also can't freaking wait, ladies and gentlemen, for your help with the Kinda Funny membership. If you know the Kinda Funny membership, you get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free. You could get all of our shows ad-free. You could watch us record our afternoon podcast live as we record them, get them a day early in most chances before they post anywhere else. And of course, you could get the daily multimedia experience known as Greg Guay. But you maybe have the Kinda Funny membership, but you're not using it right now. So here's a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by Dragon's Dogma 2. Dragon's Dogma 2 is the highly anticipated action RPG successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, released in 2012. Dragon's Dogma 2 boasts a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using immersive physics, character AI, and the latest in graphics from Capcom's RE engine. This single-player action RPG challenges players to use their creativity and curiosity to shape their own experience. The world of Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves around choice. Both your party of pawns and enemies alike will react dynamically to your actions on the battlefield, whether you cling to the backs of monsters or seek to dispatch them from afar. Whether you like melee combat, shooting bows and spells, scaling enormous monsters, or using your environment to your advantage, Dragon's Dogma 2 has something for you. And the character creator is easy to use with a ton of customizability to get as creative as you want. So go to dragonsdogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. This episode's brought to you by Robinhood. Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this, now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right, no cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through April 30th. Get started at robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees apply. And now for some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024, validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Number two on the Roper Report, Dead Space 2 Remake reportedly shelved following lackluster sales of the first game. This is Tom Ivan. Fuck!
Yeah, that sucks. I don't know if Greg's going to recover from this. Audio listeners, he's leaning over right now. He's taking it hard. He's taking it hard.
Dead Space. I like Dead Space 2 more than one. That's how much I like Dead. So you know what I mean? Plans for Dead Space 2 Remake have reportedly been shelved after the... Fuck!
I can take this one over. I'm going to take this one over. Plans for a Dead Space 2 Remake have reportedly been shelved after the first game failed to deliver commercially. Goddamn. Why don't people buy the game?
What's fucking wrong with you people?
Just buy the video game.
Stop just buying the fucking V-Bucks and buy the fucking good games.
Because they're also the same
people.
If this
was a fucking Resident Evil right now, y'all would be like, oh, he cut off his hand. It's great.
I know the same people that also complain about EA. And y'all ain't buying the single-player EA game. Like, when they make one single-player EA game, y'all don't buy it?
What's going on here? Support Black Panther. You better support Iron Man.
You better support Black Panther. That's according to Giant Bomb's Jeff Grubb, who is discussing developer Motive's current projects following the news that EA has made the studio part of its wider Battlefield development team. Quote, they were working on Dead Space 2, and they are no longer working on it, he claimed on Wednesday. It is on the shelf because the first game had lackluster sales, is how it was phrased to me, end quote. Grubb said a Dead Space 2 remake had been in pre-production before Motive's plans changed. Quote, so if you're looking forward to Dead Space 2, it's straight up bad news. Does this mean it never happens? I don't know if that's the case, but yeah. As it stands right now, they were working on it. It was in the concepting phase, I believe. It was in pre-production, and now that work has been put on the shelf, and they are done with it. And this studio is now making Iron Man and Battlefield, end quote. We talked about that yesterday, about how they got moved over to Battlefield, a lot of them. And we're worried about Iron Man. Turns out Iron Man, fine. It's Dead Space 2 that you got to worry about.
Do you believe it? Do you believe fine? You believe it's fine?
Yeah. I don't think so. I think I got faith in Iron Man 1.
Fuck!
Dead Space 2? Not really, no.
That sucks. Dead Space 2 was great.
What's the like consensus on Dead Space 2 versus 1?
People like 1 more.
Okay.
They don't hate Dead Space 2. They thought Dead Space 2 just became too action-y.
Survival. Yeah, I was surprised.
Dead Space 1 was so survival horror. Dead Space 2 was a bit more like You're Isaac. You're gonna fuck these people up a bit.
Yeah.
And then Dead Space 3 was like, you're just gonna fuck. You know, your fucking action movie sucked.
Do you think we get a new Dead Space?
No.
Damn.
Based on this,
damn.
No. The way EA thinks, no.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It also sucks because like we just got the statement from EA a week or two ago when they were like, oh, we want to focus less on like IPs, like licensed
yeah,
IPs,
yeah.
And like focus
more
on
our own stuff. Yeah.
Dead Space is your own thing, and you're like, no, we're not gonna do this. We're gonna do Iron Man, which. In my opinion, if you had to choose one of the two, Iron Man is the right choice. But also, don't have the studio work on Battlefield.
Yeah, who cares? Give it up. Call of Duty beat you. It's over.
Yeah.
Stop trying to catch them.
Now, I said this yesterday where I'm like, who's out here buying loads of Battlefield? Turns out a lot of y'all are buying Battlefield. But like, why? 2042? Y'all all... Maybe let me not paint with a broad brush. Most of you guys didn't like that shit.
Fair enough.
I saw y'all hating on it in the comments. Except for Brendan Ryan, who says 2042 is good. Okay, well, Trader Pro says 2042 made big improvements. It's fun as hell now.
Yeah, but these are always these kind of people. You know what I mean? They buy it. They eat shit. They have to try to tell their friends it's great. And then they come back and they're like, it's really good now. It's really good now.
I don't hear people talk about it. But also, like, I guess
I said
that
about Avengers, so I get it. But I'm saying.
Listen, do you? But also, like, just make a new Titanfall. Call it a day. And have Motive just make a new Dead Space 2. But keep working on Iron Man. Don't stop working on Iron Man because I want to play that.
Yeah.
Well, you're not hyped for
Iron Man?
I don't
know. It's not that I'm not hyped. It's just like when they're like bailing on these IPs, but they're doing this thing. I'm like, all right, so do you believe in this? Is it really good? That's fine. Okay.
But if work's already started on it. Like Iron Man, you have to imagine is, what, years into it at this point?
You'd hope so.
And so like, I think you still have to honor that contract with Disney.
Of course.
And
of
also
course,
you want to make it a good game,
yeah.
Right? And so like,
this is a Suicide Squad problem, yeah.
But like Suicide Squad was a different type of game.
I think
this is one where it's like, we talked about this, me and Tim, yesterday, that I think we get a good Iron Man 1 and a good Black Panther game. I don't know why I keep saying 1 as if they've announced a franchise, but I think we get a good Iron Man and a good Black Panther game, but those are going to have to sell gangbusters to get sequels to those.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like I think for them, it's like, all right, cool. Now we don't want to pay Disney any more money for this for the licensing rights. Let's either have these people work on Battlefield or have them work on our own original IP or like maybe come back to Dead Space. Maybe not Dead Space because apparently y'all won't buy it. Make another Mirror's Edge.
At least we'll always have Callisto Protocol.
I mean, EA didn't make... What does that have to do with EA?
Well, because they stopped making Dead Spaces, so they went and made a Callisto, but it wasn't Dead Space. And now they're making the weird, like, the little one.
Yeah, the little roguelite
with
the fun art style.
In the same universe, though.
Yeah. Number 3. A year and a half after its bitter breakup with NetEase, Blizzard has made a new deal to bring its games back to China with NetEase. This is Andy Chalk at PC Gamer. After being gone for more than a year, Blizzard's biggest games will soon return to China. Blizzard confirmed tonight it has struck a new deal with NetEase to bring all the games covered by the previous publishing agreement, including World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, and, quote, other titles in Warcraft, Overwatch, Diablo, and StarCraft universes back to the Chinese market. The new deal will take effect this summer. We at Blizzard are thrilled to reestablish our partnership with NetEase and to work together with deep appreciation for the collaboration between our teams to deliver legendary gaming experiences to players in China. Blizzard President Johan Ferris? Ferries?
For some reason, I cannot see the name. In
Johanna Ferries?
Yeah, I'll say Johanna Ferries.
I said in a statement. We had back in college. Mm-hmm. We had this RA. The person who lived on your floor had to kind of be the adult, but wasn't the adult that everybody really loved. And then he found a wallet, and he used the calling card on it. This is how old I am to like call home, like you know, to get. When he returned the wallet and they found that out, they removed him from being an RA because it was like a violation or whatever.
What, like getting the calling, like because he opened and looked through the wallet? Like,
well, he used the calling card. So he found someone's wallet on campus, then used the calling card in it to call home or whatever. So he ate up some of this person's minutes.
What's a calling card?
It's like back in the day where you'd go to a payphone or a phone and you wanted to use long distance, but you didn't want to pay for it. You could buy like prepaid calling cards.
Oh, okay.
So somebody had paid for the...
But like he's calling to like return the wallet, right?
No, he was calling somebody on the calling card.
Oh, okay. Well, that's on him. Yeah.
So he got removed as the
thing. Gotcha. I see what you're doing now.
And so then they put in a new RA that we didn't like or not like or whatever. You know what I mean? And his name was Johan. Uh-huh. And it was that thing where... You know, he had the stupid like floor meetings like once or twice. Nobody gave a shit, but you know, you show up to whatever. And we were told this is a big one. So everybody came. And then at the end, Johan's like, I got one more thing to say, guys, and it's like, it's a big deal. We're all like, oh shit, like a hush falls over the room. He's like, this is very personal. I'm sorry, but on my whiteboard, someone keeps coming by and erasing the H in my name, so it says Joanne. And there was a moment of silence, and then the entire place burst out laughing. It's not funny. It's not funny. And we're like, ah, you fucking idiot.
Oh, that's really funny.
Back to this story about nothing. Quote, we are immensely grateful for the passion the Chinese community has shown for Blizzard games throughout the years. And we are focused on bringing our universes back to players with excellence and dedication.
A lot of people in chat are getting at me for not knowing what a calling card is.
Yeah, I was going to say, like calling cards like in Persona 5?
I mean, do you know what a calling card is, Barry?
Fuck no.
I was going to say, I feel like I stepped into a different universe.
Everybody, if you're like, that's fucking crazy, and you're bagging on him, we're old. You're an old person.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. It's
you're
like,
an
like,
old person.
I don't know if I...
I don't even know it from college because I had a... we had landlines in the thing. But I remember like as a kid, my mom giving me a calling card so that a payphone, I would never need change. That's how it worked. You would dial the 1-800 number and then put in the number you needed to call.
Yeah, I think I definitely grew up toward the death of payphones. Like, I don't think I've ever used a payphone in my life.
I think I've used one once, but yeah, I didn't know what a calling card was. And like, to give more context, right? Like, you're old, and Blessing and I aren't like new kids in the industry anymore. We're like in our young to mid 20s. We're almost 30.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're old.
I was thinking about this, that like, I think I started before Kind of Funny, right? Like I started podcasting in like 2015 ish. Like 2015 is when I started my first podcast.
When I inspired you. Yeah.
Actually, that's accurate. Honestly, I can't even debate against that. But yeah, like I'm like a year away from 10 years of podcasting, which is insane. Cause it sounds like it's my first year whenever I pick up a microphone.
The Portland Kevin says, I would always use 1-800-COLLECT and just use my name as the message. Just use the name as the message. That was another thing you do where you didn't have money. You're at the, you're done at the movies, you're done at the pool. Mm-hmm. And so you 1-800-COLLECT call your mom or whatever. And it would be like, you have a call from mom. I know the movie. Come pick me up.
Oh, that's smart.
Do you accept charges? She just hang up and come get you.
I love that.
Yeah. But it was like such a, you fire it off and you hope it works kind of thing. You know what I mean?
That's so funny.
Number 4. Prince of Persia, Sands of Time remake might be going through a remake of its own.
Kapruid Chat says, we had a baby, it's a boy. That's really good.
That's from a commercial, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's from a commercial. Bob, we had a baby, it's a boy. This is George Yang at IGN. Ubisoft's Prince of Persia, Sands of Time remake is reportedly getting an overhaul and being remade from scratch again. According to Insider Gaming, Ubisoft Montreal has apparently completely redone the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake. While footage was provided, it was under the condition that it wouldn't be shown publicly. Insider Gaming describes the footage as the game being in early development with missing textures and assets. The overhaul reportedly includes a more realistic graphical approach and new animations and mechanics for combat and parkour. Additionally, it appears that voice actor Yuri Lowenthal is reportedly no longer reprising his role. He was the prince's original voice actor and also appeared in the remake's initial reveal trailer. Ubisoft is reportedly going to provide a more substantial update on the remake's progress, but it's unclear when that will be. What a tortured development cycle for this game.
I read this article I read this article wrong the original time.
Yeah.
And I thought they were just saying that like, oh yeah, the Prince of Persia remake that got announced years and years ago. Turns out it was remade. I was about to be like, no shit. Like it was announced for like 3 months from its announcement. It was like what? January 2021 or some shit. This thing was supposed to come out 2022 maybe.
And it was so close when it got announced.
Yeah,
and then they delayed it because of everybody watching the shit going like, wait, this kind of sucks.
So I'm like, no shit, they're remaking it from scratch. But I missed where they said again. That's crazy.
Insane.
At that point, just shelve it. Yeah, like listen, it was a good run. We tried. It's cursed, right? There's something in the Prince of Persia universe that like left the game and cursed the actual development cycle. It's not worth doing. Yeah. That's where I'm at with this thing.
Yeah, I love Sands of Time. It's what made me quit piano. And so like, I'm excited. I'd love to see this actually happen. But like, how much money? Look, available January 21st, 2021.
Also,
ladies and gentlemen, it's 3 years fucking later.
I nailed that date, by the way. I said January 2021. Come on.
Come on, everybody. Give it up. This kid ain't podcasting for the first time
today. When it comes to dates, I know things. But no, that's insane.
Outrageous. And again, yeah, I would say just stop. You know what I mean? Just fucking
I feel like Tim Geddes would disagree with this.
Really? You think Tim Geddes would disagree with me that the Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, remake, they should just stop?
Never stop. Bring it back. We got to rewind, just like the Prince does.
Whoa.
All right. And we get backwards. It right this time. Okay. I'm feeling good about this, Greg. All the things we saw about Prince of Persia's Sands of Time remake, I didn't feel good about, bless.
Yeah. No.
I felt really, really bad about.
Yeah.
But everything
yeah,
we're hearing yeah. here, take your time. It's fine. Just get it right. I want to return to the Sands. I want to run on some walls.
It sounds like they're doing the things people want, right? Like the whole thing with the original reveal was that people were like, this remake doesn't look that good.
It's ugly.
And then yeah, apparently making ugly. It look good.
It's funny you say all that because a lot of people in chat are saying, right now, a new Prince of Persia game just got announced.
The Rogue Prince of Persia.
Number five on the Roper Report, Tim Geddes has played the Rogue Prince of Persia. Tim, I was so excited when we got invited to this demo. I couldn't go to it. You went to it. I haven't talked to you about it. What is the Rogue Prince of Persia?
Here's the thing, y'all. I'm living my best life, Bless. How are we you talking really are. About three different Prince of Persia games so far this year? I mean, I don't think remake's happening this year, but we're talking about it this year, Greg. So that's really
is
exciting.
Rogue happening this year?
Is Rogue?
I know nothing.
Is the Rogue Prince of Persia happening?
This is the
year?
Art style.
This is the art style.
This is not what I expect. Let me tell to look you like. Holy
all
shit!
Right now, this game.
Take my chair. Take my
look
chair.
Look at
take
how tiny I am. Look how beautiful I am. I don't need that. It's fine. I want you to be able to talk too.
What bro. The
I'm
fuck?
I'll get you a chair. I'm getting this.
All right, so here we go. This game is coming to early access very soon.
I mean, he's talking to just put down the microphone. Just talking to the podcast mic.
Well, then I'll give this one to Greg. Sorry, Barrett. We had
a conversation with you yesterday about this, Tim, and you were adamant.
I was prepped.
You were like, fuck chairs. I'm a stand.
I hate the squat look. I love the squat.
It's good. It makes me feel like I have energy, just like the prince here. A whole new prince. A brand new prince. This is different than the princes we've had.
So for audio listeners, the video we're watching, very different art style from Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, right? Way more animated, 2D, way more color. Like, what? Yeah, Tim, explain what the fuck is this?
So check this out. This is from Evil Empire. You might know them from a game called Dead Cells.
Holy shit.
So all the rumors were true. Everything that was coming out the last couple weeks about, hey, this probably exists. Yes, it does, and it's real, and it's real good. I got to play not too long about this. I maybe think 30 minutes. And it's exactly what it looks like. It is a 2D roguelike Prince of Persia. I will say that it's a little weird putting this game out so close to The Lost Crown. Now, granted, it's early access. But it's coming early access like next month.
Wow.
Oh.
Like, this is soon, y'all. Mm-hmm. And what I got to play, it plays great. It is really cool. One of my favorite mechanics is obviously running on the wall, but it's different in this game. You kind of run in a bit more freeform on the wall. So anywhere there's a wall, it's not just running horizontal. You can also run up and kind of diagonally, and you can kind of like use the analog stick to kind of change your wall run animation a bit to get to the different locations you need to. Feels very fluid, feels very good. The combat's a lot of fun. And otherwise, it's very similar to Dead Cells. You start running through, there's different abilities you can pick up, different buffs you can get. You have to make the choices. There's the like sacrifice rooms where it's like, all right, hey, do you want this reward? If you do, it's going to like take half your health or things like that. So everything you kind of expect.
Oh, this is so Dead Cells. Holy shit.
Oh, it's straight what up Dead fuck? Cells, but it's Prince of Persia. Music is banging. It's really interesting because when they announced The Lost Crown at, I think it was Summer Game Fest last year, maybe the Game Awards, probably Summer Game Fest. When they first showed it, the trailer was very hip-hop influenced.
Yeah.
And then the actual game, not so much. Mm-hmm. There's some hip-hop in there, but like overall, I'd say it was more authentically Prince of Persia. This way more into the hip-hop side than I expected.
Really?
Yeah, so it's kind of surprising. Bangers, though. Big fan of it all around the board.
It's so funny because like the character... I assume this is the prince.
The prince.
The prince is like, you know, looking at the items, right, that you can pick up. And even the font looks like Dead Cells. Like, like the actual, like, you know, the screen that displays to, like, show you what the item is and, like, the details of it looks just like Dead Cells.
And it plays like Dead Cells. But it's Prince of Persia, which is just really cool. Such a great idea. And I'm a big fan. I'm excited for this. I have a lot of questions when it comes to the timing of all of this. Like, this is so close to Lost Crown. And granted, Metroidvania versus roguelite, different genres, but also a lot of similarities. And I think that for a franchise that is still kind of struggling to, like, gain back the recognition that it deserves, I don't know how well it's going to fare coming out so close to the other one, but obviously it looks so distinctly different.
Does it feel smaller? Or does it like, because I think that's the immediate impression I get when you talk about it coming out so close to The Lost Crown, but then also it being a roguelite being developed by an indie team, right, of Evil Empire. And even I looking at the art style, it feels like the biggest departure from what I typically get out of a Prince of Persia. Does it feel like this is like a side smaller thing? Or does it feel like this is a big game? Like, this, do you get Dead Cells level of
I get Dead Cells levels. Yeah, and it's early access, so we'll see how big it gets. But I mean, even from what I got to play, there was multiple areas. And so what was really cool about this, and again, very similar to Dead Cells, the intro animation was amazing. Like, so much love and care put into it, and you get all the story that you need. This prince has something where when he dies, he gets to come back and then protect people, and he,
like Jesus,
exactly. When the intro animatic kind of opens, we see this like little girl, like terrified, running from like bad guys in the city, and he's like trying to protect her and like doing a great job, but then it gets to a point where like she's away from him and like they all shoot arrows and they're all about to hit her, and he like jumps over her like a shield, takes all the arrows and like smiles at her, and then like reanimates back.
Well, she didn't see that coming.
100%. It's very, very Hawkeye. Hawkeye and Quicksilver there. So yeah, it's cool. They explain as much as they need to why he keeps coming back. I'm into it. It sounds fun. This, again, is a different prince, which I do appreciate. Different from the Sands of Time one, different from the Lost Crown one. So I'm more prince I am not going to say no to. I am interested
maybe
in what...
Maybe people will buy this one.
Maybe. And I hope people keep mine Lost Crown. And I hope eventually remake of Sands of Time is good and people buy that too, because I love these games. I'm really excited for this. I'm not the biggest early access fan. In fact, I'm not a fan of early access. I'll just say that. So I'm going to play this more when it comes out in a month. But it is definitely one of the things that I'm going to wait to see how this game plays out over the next couple of years to see how much I really want to get into it. But it is good. I love the art style, but I hate elements of it. And I think that this is going to be a... Your mileage may vary on it, where I love the backgrounds and I love the style. I don't love how the characters look themselves.
It reminds me of Flash animation, like kind Flash of. Games yeah. online, which I know sounds like such a diss, but I like a lot of those games and like how they look. But yeah, like that was the immediate impression, especially when you talk about just the characters and how they move, right? It looks a bit cartoony, but I could see myself warming up to it over time. I will say, like, when you talk about Dead Cells, I love the Dead Cells art style so much, and this is definitely a departure from that.
Yeah, it definitely is inspired by a certain artist that I am unaware of, but I have seen their works, and they even referenced it, and I was, like, looking at it, I was like, oh, definitely, I get that. Mm-hmm. Like, it might have been, like, Tintin, things like that, like, that type of art. In the same way that we know, like Hanna-Barbera, when we look at it. But it's, like... Obelisk and Asterisk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, so I forget that guy's name, but like
French
that.
Cartoons.
Yeah, it's like it's a French art style, which makes a lot of sense with the Ubisoft partnerships. But I really think it does a great job with the level design, because the way that the colors kind of can work to differentiate background stuff from things you can wall run on, it really pops, and it's like very natural to look at. And I think they did a great job with it. But yeah, there's just something about your character and then all the enemies you're facing, like the outline around them just kind of makes it all look a little more smushed than I'd like it to. But that's all a personal taste thing. The game's great. I just really think the biggest problem is it's so close and such a similar genre to The Lost Crown that I just don't know if it's going to be able to live up to the experience I just had, because at the end of the day, you give me a roguelike, you give me a Metroidvania, I'm going Metroidvania because I want it to be a tighter, more set piece driven experience. Mm-hmm. And Lost Crown was that, but it was also huge. So it's like kind of everything I'd want from it all. Having said that, in the 30 minutes I played, I probably did like two little runs of what I was doing, and mm-hmm. I was like, I'm having a great time. And like the choices between the different weapons I was invested in, and I wanted to see how different things played. There's also some things that surprised me, where there's some weapons, like there's this like almost Captain America shield type thing where you can throw it and it like spins and then comes back to you. And I'm like, I just did this a couple months ago in Lost Crown. That's really interesting. And granted, it's all Prince of Persia, but I'm like, we didn't have that in any other Prince of Persia game. So,
sure.
Again, at the end of the day, my takeaway is I just can't believe the prince is back like this. I think this is going to hit for the people that prefer this type of game over Metroidvanias, but no matter what, I still think people should just support these Prince of Persia games because they're fantastic overall.
Franco-Belgian the art style.
Or that's what it is.
The comics, I guess. Franco-Belgian comics is the inspiration.
Yeah.
Awesome. Right.
Thanks, Tim.
There we go. I love you all.
A great preview from a great man, Tim Geddes.
Fascinating.
That was some big news. Breaking right here on Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Huge.
But frankly, Wes, I'm sick of the big news. Wow. If I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
Number six, the Wii News. PlayStation Plus Extra / Premium Games for April 2024 have been announced. Extra will see Animal Well, Tales of Kinzera Zao, Dave the Diver, Oddballers, Construction Simulator, The Crew 2, Raji, an Ancient Epic, Lego Ninjago Movie Video Game, Nor, Play With Your Food, Deliver Us Mars, Lego Marvel's Avengers, I'm in that, Stray Blade, and Misama Chronicles. Premium will get Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare, Star Wars Rebel Assault 2, The Hidden Empire, and Medieval.
You got the Triple I Showcase. I can take it away from
Please
here.
Do.
Because, yeah, the Triple I Showcase went down. It was a 45-minute indie game showcase where we got things like, I assume that's where we got the Rogue Prince of Persia news announcements. But we got a whole bunch of more stuff, like Slay the Spire 2 coming out in Early Access 2025, which I'm excited about. We got Risk of Rain 2, Devotion update coming soon with a crossover with Dead Cells announced with that. We got Knight, a game coming out in 2024 for Xbox Series X, PS5, Switch, and PC. I'll check that out for my fantasy draft. Shadows of Doubt coming to Xbox Series X and PS5 in 2024. Dino Lords, Gestalt, Steam, and Cinder coming May 21st. Vampire Survivors is coming to PS4 and PS5 with Vampire Survivors Cross Contra DLC launching May 9th.
They used my clip in the trailer.
Go check out that trailer. Never Alone 2 got announced? Did you play Never Alone?
No.
Never Alone.
That was like an early PS4 game, right?
Yeah, it was like one of the first games I ever reviewed on my own blog. I was like, I wanted to start reviewing random games, and I think Never Alone might have been a PS Plus title, and so
shout
I just wrote a review.
Never Alone.
Yeah, shout out to Never Alone. Cataclysmo launches July 16th. Death Must Die Act 2 comes April 20th. Shout out 420. End Zone 2 Early Access 2024. Icarus is a video game. Undermine 2 was announced. Nordland Early Access May 6th, the 16th. What the Car is coming September 5th on Steam. Darkest Dungeon 2 Kingdoms Free Update 2024. Rakugaki RKGK is coming summer 2024. There's a lot of games. Broken Rose is out now. Raven's Watch Fall of Avalon Early Access Major Update April 22nd. Cat Quest 3 is coming 2024. Hyper Light Breaker Early Access still summer 2024. The Last Spell, Dwarves of Runeberg, April 24th. Lesara, Summit Kingdoms out now in Early Access. Wizard of Legend 2, Let's School is coming to console summer 2024.
Wizard of Legends. That is a good one.
Oh, cool. I didn't. Yeah. I have no idea what that is.
I had to play it for IGN back in the day.
Brotato, which I've actually heard good things about.
Brotato.
I think it was, who's the baseball player that we all love that we're friends with?
Hunter Pence.
Yeah, Hunter Pence told me about Brotato. I'm not hung out with Hunter Pence as much as you guys have, but like one of the few times I have, he talked about Brotato a lot. Chia is coming to Switch on June 27th. Chia. Streets of Rogue 2 Early Access is coming later this year, and that's it.
Quite the showcase.
There's also Outworld Arena, 33 Immortals closed beta.
Oh, shit. It keeps going.
Yeah, it keeps going.
This is a lot of announcements for 45 minutes. Holy shit.
I think Rogue Prince of Persia closed out the show.
There you go.
Wait, scroll down. That's it. Silk Bros and Hollow Cucks still suffering.
That's good.
Get out of well. From VGC, Sega is celebrating Fearless Year of the Shadow with a series of events. The planned events include a Shadow-inspired motorcycle is set to appear in MotoGP Fan Zone this weekend in Austin, Texas, and again in the UK this August. Your next bullet point, Sonic Forces and Sonic Dash will also feature in-game tie-in events wherein players can unlock Shadow variants, including Super Shadow, Vampire Shadow, Sir Lancelot, and Dragon Hunter Lancelot. And your final one here, the Sonic Symphony World Tour will also update its set list to include original Shadow-based scores, which will be shown alongside some of his coolest moments on screen. You salute your king.
I salute my king. Let's fucking go. The greatest year of all time starts today.
Destiny 2 Into the Light is now available for all players at no additional cost. House Flipper 2 is out today on Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. Sky Children of Light is out today on PC Early Access. And Fallout, of course, is on Prime today.
I appreciate that we have two video game updates that include light to fight the shadow. You know,
about time.
Yeah.
We go to Super Chats because we have nothing in your run today.
Oh.
Mara said, Invincible Screencast Day, let's go. That's right. We are doing our Invincible Season 2 screencast today, second half screencast today. Be excited for that. Andrew Williams redacted a message. Thank you for that. CJ Splitson says, shout out to PlayStation Stars program, which isn't talked about enough. Was able to buy Unicorn Overlord today with just points. It's not just collectibles. Jim Ryan, get the fuck out of here with your alt accounts.
I'm logging in right now.
You know what I mean?
Let's see what I got.
Still level one somehow. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Because I think you need to press a button or something. That I can't believe you're level
one. I think it is that you have to purchase things.
Well, no, you got to play the games, but I play the games for review
Definitely way past level one. Mm.
Onimus Prime gave us a super chat and said they had Last of Us Part 1 out while Last of Us HBO was going, and the whole sentiment was, quote, it's not for us. It was to bring hopefully new people in. Same deal here, and if they put out a next-gen patch, even more so. Yeah, as always, the it's not for us people are too loud for a minority. Obviously, we knew people were going to go watch the HBO show. I talked about this quite a bit and go buy the damn thing. There should be a Fallout to go buy on the shelf right now.
I have enough money to get $5.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim Ryan.
I'm like halfway to $20. I have like 2,219 points. And so, and like 5,000 points gets you $20 of PlayStation funds.
And Casper J87 bookends the show with the thing you started the show with, Eid Mubarak. Did I pronounce it right? Because last year I had Youssef send me a voice memo, but of course I can't remember anything from yesterday. Let me tell you,
I'm not the correct source for this question.
We're trying our best. Casper J87 says Eid Mubarak to the Muslims in the Kinda Funny community, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily in the books. If you had a good time with us today, why not support us? The Kinda Funny membership on YouTube or Patreon, of course, gets you each and every episode ad-free. It gets you all the other shows ad-free. It gets you the ability to watch our podcast live as we record them this afternoon, like I assume we are, Barrett, with the screencasts.
Wait, what?
Like, we're doing an Invincible review, right? Is that we can get that? You can get that on the Patreon, the YouTube thing, and all that jazz?
Yeah.
Are we doing
yeah.
the Joker? We're doing a Joker reaction.
We're doing
too.
A Joker live reaction right after this.
Is that live for everybody? Or
that's
is that
live for everybody. That'll okay. be all of us at the desk. That's going to be a fun time.
Okay.
On the calendar, it's confusing because it says not live Invincible screencast. I don't know what that means. Are okay. we not doing that live for members? Who
I don't
knows?
Know. We're doing a lot of different shows.
I made a membership stream.
You know what? Fucking give us the money and go find out. Roll the dice. Maybe you see something, maybe you don't.
Roll the dice.
You know what I mean?
What's I think we're advocating gambling. I think is that legal? Can we do that?
Either way, if you sign up for the membership, you will get an ad-free version of the Invincible screencast.
Shay Raven says, literally just got the Patreon message. So yeah, you're good. You can watch that live as we do it. And of course, you get the Greg way, which I still need to piece together because an alarm went off in the middle of it about Bluey. But I'll give it to Cool Greg and get it out.
You're only halfway through recording this, Greg.
No, I recorded both sides, but I had a call today I didn't want to miss, so I had to set an alarm, and the alarm went off, and it doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
Ladies and gentlemen, of course, no bucks tossed away, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Use your Amazon Prime subscription on us. Use your dollars on us. And of course, keep the lights and mics on. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.